This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Lord, we thank you. We acknowledge you, Father. We bless your name. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. We bless you, Father. We thank you for help again, that you help us. You will help us as a people. You will help us. You help us to look to you, to look to your words, Lord. You will cause your word to burn in our heart again. You will help us. You will circumcise our heart again, that we may receive of you, Father. We thank you for the atmosphere of the Spirit this night. We thank you for grace. We thank you for utterance and entrance to your word. We thank you for your Spirit that will help us. Lord, we thank you for your word that you send to us. Oh, for you sent forth your word, and the word came and healed them and delivered them from all their diseases. We thank you because you will send your word to us, even tonight, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for grace. Thank you for supply of spirit. Thank you for anointing. Thank you for help to speak your word. Thank you because you will inspire me. You will bless my meditation. You help me to fetch out from you. Lord, I commit myself to you that you will help me. You will help me. Jesus, you will help me. You will help me to serve you and to serve your people, to serve your servants, Lord. You will help me, Father, in the name of Jesus. You will strengthen me. You will quicken me. You have done that already. I thank you for that strength. I thank you for the ministry spirit that you have sent to help me tonight. Help us tonight. Help us, Lord. Help us. We acknowledge the Spirit of God in our midst and ministry spirit. We acknowledge their presence in our midst. And we bless you, Father. In Jesus' name, praise God. One of the things God's servant said that was very, very clear is that God wants the life from the beginning to rain. The issue of raining is a big deal. The issue of raining is big in God's heart. And when you say rain, God doesn't want to rain over the things he created. God wants to rain in his creation, i.e. man. You see, would you say God is not raining? He's sovereign over all. But there's a particular kind of rain. So when you say rain, the Bible says that the sovereign God rules in the affairs of men. You know, God rules in the affairs of men. When you hear that the sovereignty of God cuts across every man and he brings his rain, but the trust of rain that God is proclaiming to us in this season, it's not something that is forced. It's what that can show life. Say life.
Life.
You see, when you talk about rain, even to a man, rain is real low. Why do you think men want power? Every man wants to reign. Every woman wants to reign. You know, the issue of having influence. I know when you talk about rain, think influence, think life, think expression. So the issue of rain is actually big, even in the heart of man. But it's also big in the heart of God. Now, God's people, let me and you reason it. How will you create something that was for your own pleasure? And another man is reigning there. He said, all things were created for his pleasure. And for him were they what? Created. But the truth is God having pleasure? Look at yourself. Is God having pleasure in you? Is he having pleasure in what he has created? Even the sons of the morning he created, there was one that did not bring him pleasure. You don't understand. Creation. So a being creates a world. And they created it to have pleasure. But they are not having that pleasure. You know, you now know that pleasure is not so that you have created something. Reign forever is not that after when they dethrone you, it will go to another ruling house. But there are some, it goes through a lineage. If you hear of men wanting to build empire, is to let you know that there's a thing about reigning. So reigning is not you enforcing authority over people. Reigning is the influence of life you have. Now, without your presence, that's a reign. Let me give you an example. If you raise a child in a home, and that child, if he's not seeing the physical authority in the home, that child can still obey the values of that home. The life of that home is reigning. Have you heard when they talk about a child that you are spoiling my name? You know, there's a what their name represents. You know, so there's a reign that every man also wants. But there's also one that has reigned over man. There's one that the place where the life of God, the life of the beginning, should reign over man. Another life is reigning over man. You know, something about reign is also the place of word. Every reign has his word. And that was their enforcer. That was what influenced how they churn out constitution, laws. That was what guided what they wanted to become. So every word has a way, you know, as what was pushing it. And it's good that every man knows and acknowledges that another is reigning over him. Me and you, there's another reigning over us. It's good not to deceive ourselves as believers. Yes, God is reigning over us. But when I bring forth some conclusion and some things, definitely things that don't look like it's shade, it's good I acknowledge the reign of another. Reign is when you find yourself, you know, submitting to what without any cajoling. Reign is on forced coercion to obey. It's obedience. When you talk reign, think obedience. Think responses. Think nobody psyched you, but you just find yourself as a default position of responding until Godhood can become a reality. We cannot say God has reigned over me until I embody some conversation. As a life, it's good that I acknowledge that there's God, though there's some of God. So the best that God has enjoyed over time is a mixed reign. It's either here or neither there. It doesn't hold it totally. And if you look at yourself, maybe your own reign of God, maybe you are already in the 90s reign, you know, and the remaining 10s reign is just what the adversary has. Beautiful. But you see, you can't say you have totally reigned. You see, the issue of Israel, no, say, until they do some conquering, they can't say they are finished. So they understand rain. Rain is not so much showmanship. A man can stand and is raining. He commands influence. He commands without saying a dime. That is rain. So the rich ruler, he knew that he had money. He had age. But this was a 33 years old man. He not get money. He not get. But this man had an influence. This man had something working for him. He did not get back in where he could reference. Jesus was not in the school of the Pharisees. He did not have godfathers, but yet he had followership. Yet he commanded their life and an authority. He said, no man does these things except God be with him. He knew that there was another that was endorsing this one's reign. You see, when you see reign, you will know you lack. The reason why me and you are contented with our life is because some people will do life, you'll be ashamed. Some people will do brotherly kindness. You stay in your meanness. Nobody will preach to you. You will be ashamed. It has happened now. See the brotherly love, the fraternity, living together. It has happened that people are begging people that let brethren come and leave me too, because they are feeling shame. After a while, you know, maybe you say, I don't like myself. Nobody will force you. But after a while, you will begin, when you see some people embody a life. There's a way a reign, when reign comes to a life, you know, this is no controversy. Jesus is Lord. Every controversy silenced. So when God reigns over me and you, God's people, they will not teach us some things. It will come as a default. When men embody the life of God, he said, Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to you. When the Lord is lifted up and a reign is established, me and you will stand in a locality, wherever you are. And they are showing you honor of the way because there's life they can attest to. That's why God wants to focus on me and you. It's good to be zealous about evangelism. Me and God, we are going to. But you see, you evangelize yourself as you're evangelizing the world. Please be very mindful of your own evangelism. Be one first so that you will be a good tool of an evangelist. Have you ever seen crusade that there are millions? I think the one we can always bear witness to is Reina Bonnke. But you see, when men are raised and a reign is embodied in beings, God's people, it will be more than that too. There was a vision. I remember back then in campus, we used to read it. That very soon, you will just see that some places are empty. Why? Because men have been raised. Men are no longer just preaching gospel. Men have embodied gospel by reason of how they've allowed the rain. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, why am I saying all of this, God's people? I am saying this so that we will have a kind of mind. Say kind of mind. This life of the beginning. You know why? You know, I was telling someone, you know why sin is a big deal? It's a big deal because it didn't start with me and you. It's imported to our planet. It is imported to our system. There was a time sin was in the world. There was a time sin was imputed. There was a time sin reigned. By men, you. There was a time sin did what? Sin reigned. Sin reigned. But God wants to ensure that me and you come to that place clearly. I was just thinking that how come that the emissary of bringing men and women to reign, a word? How many of us have had word? I just got a word from the Lord on this matter. And I took the word and ran with the word. You had a word on a matter. And you know, you listen to the word. That word is what made. That word worked for you. I think sometime I was thinking about the word. When they say the word, the word, the word. I now thought that, it is the big word, logos. You know, I just saw that when they say word is a piecemeal from logos. So when God talks about that, the word that gives access to rain, it means that is their life. You see, that word is part of their life. It means they broke down their life into a measure for that word to be able to be taken by us. For that word to journey. How you will know? God said that he honors his word more than his name. What is that word that he's honoring? What word is he honoring than his name? When he says, not a single word of the Lord, we go back without accomplishing. What word is that? Is it the word of faith? Is it the word I receive, I believe? Answer me now. The journey of word is not easy. Word is seed. Don't joke with the word of God. The word of God have raised people from bed. We've read Kenayegin. We all know Kenayegin's story. It was Mark 16 word that raised him from the bed. Yes or no? When you hear some of our parents, our whole parents in the Lord say, I cannot be poor. It is not a confession. It's not a rema. It's not a daba. Not be daba. Not be claim and receive. They have used it. You don't understand. Even when they had the word, and yet they still suffered hunger. You don't understand. I'm just trying to tell you the journey of the word. And so, you know, some people talk foolishly. Truly, truly, there are some ministers, they can never be poor. Because the word they are holding to that thing is not saying they confess it. It's not that they read it in the scripture, can be the head. He said, no, 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 no. That word went through a circle. A circle of hearing, a circle of light, a circle of obediences, of commandments, a circle of coming to standards, to a place so much that it became alive and they bore fruit of it. So when they tell you, what they are saying, when they are giving their all, you are not there. The obedience of laying down all, you are not there. The obedience of walking barefoot, you are not there. The obedience of sowing everything, you are not there. The obedience when they gave all, even when their family and themselves, you were not doing that. You didn't see that. But what you saw was the fruit. What you saw was the weakness of that life. You know? So I'm just trying to say that every word in whatever dispensation, he has his circle. Every word has his what? He has his circle of life. The process of that mandate, you don't get them all. You don't have it. You don't have it. Ministers tell you that I cannot be sick. You know that word? They are not claiming it. It is not by stripes I'm healed, they are claiming. You know, it's not by stripes I'm healed. All our healing scripture. That's not what they are claiming. When they are keeping the commandment of consecration, you are not there. You don't know. You understand? When they see light in the commandment of forgiveness, you are not there. When they are dying and laying down, you've not kept that status. He cannot thrive. You don't understand. If sickness and germ hit their body, the things that we allow it to germinate is not there. Because they have kept obediences. They've not kept it as commandment. They've kept it to statue. They've kept it to a place where they are bearing fruit. They are bearing witness of that life. Not one fruit. I'm just trying to paint the issue of word. So the word that is coming to us, their words and their word, though. But can I ask us, let's do this true test. There's some words that worked for you before, and suddenly it just looks like, what do you multi-hang? Has it happened to you before? As if that you don't hang, and you have grown knee. You have grown. It cannot work for you again. Otidagba. You understand? It's just like a baby. You know, all these small, small girls, they say, yeah. Their mom will be quick to shock their mouth. Let one teenager say, yeah. Will you keep quiet there? Are you not in church? That word cannot work. If you want something, you open your mouth and you talk. Not in when was a word that brought a response from parents. But another time, you open your mouth and you talk. At another time, you go and get it yourself. At another time, you go and work for it yourself. At another time, you go and bring it into the house. But you see the word they want to give us. Say the word they want to give us. It's not the word that will give us things. So this word, things there inside. We say, but the word of his power. They call it the word of the kingdom. He said, who upholded all things? Hebrews. He said, who upholded all things? He said, he upholded what? All things by the what? Word of his power. Agbara. Not agbara, tonji okudi de olikon. Oh, onji okudi de, yes. Because there are some debts. He said, there are some debts that even some kind word not feel raise them. You see this word of his power. He said, who being the brightness of his what? When they are going to talk about it, they talked about his reign. His reign, yeah, you are seeing here. When they say storm brand is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his what? Person. They are telling you about a being that came into a dominion. He said, I'm upholding all things when he had by himself what? Entrances to reign. Sat down. So his power in the gospel, Jesus calls it the word of the kingdom. Matthew 13. He says the word of his kingdom. It is very clear that, you see, when the issue of word comes, when they want to bring me and you to reign, firstly, you must know that before we can have the reign of God, they must deliver us from another reign. One word must visit us because there's one we have allegiance to. Sometimes if the Lord will open our eyes, some of us will faint too. You know, say, open my eyes, you just want to see angel. If they open our eyes to see the reaction that is happening inside of you, I don't even know what me and you will do. That word, there's a process, and the way it comes is through the word. Say, through the word.
Through the word.
One of the things it will come with and what is embodied with is a word that can make. Because there are words that you can go to a meeting and you have not received the word. You can sit down and you have not received the word. What word? Should I say one of the pungent things or substances in word is that it can paint you a future. It can paint you another world. Can paint you a destination. You know, there are meetings and there are meetings. Oh, there are meetings that when you go, you can have good pimples. There are meetings when you go, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Abi, there are meetings that when you go, you can't stop speaking in tongues. It's good meeting. They are good meeting. But you see, there are some, when you go to meetings, and they can paint your destiny to you. And they can paint a hope beyond the veil to you. And they can paint a hope that will not fade away. They can paint a word that can make you incorruptible, undefiled. That is the word of God coming to you. Because it has substance. It has things. It has properties. When the property lands, let me tell you, this commandment that we see, excuse me, we don't know what God is doing. You know, when we sit in meetings, we don't know how power that is being transmitted. We don't know the transmission that comes to us. We belittle it many times. But one of the things the word comes, how it comes, that it brings light. How you know what has come to you is that light has come to you. Light has come. And it's good we acknowledge that, oh, you are four, we are blind. We are blind, though. We have a problem. You know, we may say, what is light? What is light? Why are they showing? One way light will come to first show you. I'm just giving an example of what light does. Light shows you that, for an instance, the abundance of your life is not consisting in the things you want. You don't understand. One way this word brings, for an instance, is that it just makes you know that, what am I running for? You know that thing of covetousness? Apart from blindness, we get covetousness. You know the sad thing about this covetousness? It's not covetousness for the things of God, though. It's covetousness for things that will bond you to the things that is passing away. He said, for a man's life, say a man's life.
A man's life.
It's not consisted not in the abundance of what? Which he does what? One reign of this beginning inverted life is that it makes you want to have things. Abundance of things. You want this, you want this, you want this. I used to wonder that the opposite of this thing means that a man's life is consisted in the things he does not own. That when you are looking at life, it's what you have not yet owned. It takes light for you to know. It takes light for you to know that you are too full. Now there's a way you can have things and things don't have you. It is me and you that give brand name to the clothes we are wearing. What you are wearing, if you call it Gucci, it is not the cloth Gucci that defines you. You are the one that gives definition to things. But, you know, it's an inverted life. An inverted life, for instance, had made you think that what gives us definition is that, see the authentic. It's not imitation. And when you wear it, you see, when you wear the thing, you see, when you begin to walk and dance, you know that this world is a wicked world. You see, this old world, it is baptized in mass with lust. This whole world, look at it. As if when they churn it out, their mass is in lust. You see, when you wear the clothes, you now feel that, what are you wearing? Denim, Lomo. And you begin to walk. You know? God's people, there's a rain, no? That's a rain. That's a rain of Gucci or a rain of denim. Rain can long shishanyela. But it takes light to visit you. That when it comes to life, your priorities change. You see, one of the things about rain is that rain has its persuasion. Every rain has its conviction. Every rain has its pursuit. You know, one thing you will know when God visits you is that actually your persuasion changes. Your conversation changes. When I'm saying that, it's not to endorse laziness. It's to endorse that what is causing this rat race. Who are you running after? They say your mate. You don't have a mate. You are the standard of the mates. Even meek of the world teaches you. You have some mates that are under the bridge. If it's age, we are looking for mates. You have some mates that are in the hospital. They've broken their leg like this. You have some mates that are in prison. So when you want to compare mates, please have a holistic view of mates. If you want to be mating, don't just be looking at my mates have driving car. No. Look at the ones that are not. One of the things light does is that light shows us standard. It shows us when the word of God comes in meetings like this, even after meetings like this, light eats your heart and standard come to you. A woman can be in a meeting and she just have a standard of how to submit to her husband. One of the things that the word of God brings is light. Every rain has its way. There's a way to get way. But you see, if we don't have light, we will not come to rain. Because rain wants to bring you to a kingdom. You know, it's the word of his kingdom. You can't talk about rain without a kingdom. You can't talk about rain without a dominion. He wants to show you the standard. Standard means that how we are, how we live. That we don't live like this. We don't live like a chicken. You know something about chicken? Is that they keep looking and pecking on the floor. All their lives, they are always pecking on the things. Their heads is always bent on the earth. That's something about a chicken. You know, that you don't live like a chicken on earth. You don't live all your life toiling. You come to a reassessment of your life. One true test that light is visiting you according to faith. You reprioritize. You reassess. You have another conclusion of what true living is all about. You will understand better. You know, when you gave your life to Christ, you were coming to church. One of the things that light does is that you begin to understand and discern each other better. You discern brotherhood. Say, all this thing. You discern, why are we doing all this parakpo? You understand? You discern that in church we have anko. One of the things that you know rain has come to you is that in Christ, there is no tribe. In Christ, one of the things that light has come to you is that you don't see tribe. If your judgment is still colored based on class, God has not visited you. You need to keep hearing until God visits you. If your decision and choices, these are some people that when you audit their friends, they don't have friends across tribe. One way that light has visited, like those kind of discussion, it's not even a thought. You don't see it. When they ask you, where are you from? It takes a time for you to reboot. Because light has visited you so much that it's not something that is the forefront of your conversation. That light raised standard for you. You can come to church and you can bond well. You see, you will see billionaires in dollars. They will be seated with you and you will not smell it. It takes light to visit a standard we raise that they will have money. A man will have money and you don't know. For a man who has worldly goods to have learned how to what? condescend. How you know that light has entered you is that people will not walk on eggshells around you. They'll be comfortable. You don't understand. You'll be able to sit them and talk to them like a human being, not sisters. You'll be able to engage them. And it's not out of pride. But, oh, I don't want to. You know, it's a way you'll be forming spirituality. That one is another extreme again. Some people have problem in balancing it. They don't know it because I don't want him to say, you now pride in the pride of life. You know, you just excuse yourself. I don't want. No. We are saying that use light to a place like how Jesus. You know, Jesus had celebrity. Jesus had many. But there was a way that when Jesus interacted with people, he had so much that the only thing he could relate with was their soul and what was inside. And it was nothing. You know that we should have men that have advantage, be able to befriend people that don't have advantage and don't feel pressured. God has to visit us with a lot of light. You see, when that light comes, you will exalt the conversation of righteousness. You will not see a man with goodly apparel and think his soul is better than one without a goodly apparel. You know that all of us, soul, any problem, any problem. You will look at the whole church, you just look at, we have problem, including yourself. You won't see one soul is better than what is holding. You see all this packaging we have. God, we, when they say put away, put off. There are many things to put off. You know, there are some people that have termed themselves ugly. But you see, when a life, a standard is exalted, there's a beauty that can radiate. You don't understand. Have you seen some people that sometimes just feel that there's a kind of light radiating from people? So when you have light, what light will do is from light that you will fetch. Because Colossians 1, he said that you might have understanding. Because light is understanding. That means man is a beast. You now understand that scripture. The difference between a beast and a man is understanding. That was what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. When they took away his understanding, he became a beast. So there's an understanding that man does not have. There's an understanding of life, of inverted life that Satan gave man, that man is running with. And that's why man has his way. That way is corrupted. He said, all men have corrupted his way. He said, there's a way that seemeth right to man. But the end of it is what? Destruction. So understanding comes to your heart. That understanding, one of the things you do, you see, understanding is not just, what light comes with is knowledge. And what understanding comes with embodies is wisdom. That's Colossians 1. He said, for this cause is also since the day we heard, did you not cease to pray for you? And desire I may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual what? Understanding. That you might be filled with the knowledge of his what? Will. So you can see the content of word. The content of light. Because light enlightens ways. But there's a way. Oh, there's a way to reign. Because we need understanding to walk. You say, how do we walk? We walk by when understanding shines or not, we begin to fetch out. We always say commandments. You can use another word, instruction. Some people don't like things to be cliche. But commandment. Okay, instruction. It's not a commandment here. Oh, command. So that you can know that they are not instructing, they are commanding you. You know, they'll say, Yoruba will say, mon pashe ni, oba man pashe. It's a command. You are commanded to do. That which they've shown you, do it. Because when you use instruction, you know, this world, these days, they don't like ash word. Say, instruct us. You advise us. You know, advise me. It's just, you know, counsel. You know, commandment. Say, your word is a lamp unto my feet. You know, commandment. He commands us so that we can see. So, for instance, commandment to love your brethren. They're not telling you to reason it. It's a what? You know, the issue of love. When we are looking at love in scripture and in epistle, they tell us love as a person of love. They reveal the person. Then the next thing, they also tell us how we manifested it to us. Then when they are going to give it to us, they tell us that it's a commandment. God's people, me and you are commanded to love ourselves. Look, God's people, can I say it is not a reason? It's a what? Commandment. Now, in actual fact, if there's no commandments, is it easy to love your brother or your sister? Is it easy? And that's why it's a standard. They need to open your eyes to see. Do you know what your eyes will see? Do you know what that commandment, that standard you see? That if you don't love, you don't have life. You will equate love to what? Life. So you choose this day whether you want to live or you want to die. That's the standard. And the beautiful thing about commandment is that it also has standard. Say standard. You know why our marriage is different from other people's marriage? Our marriage is not only, you know, they tell us the tenet of marriage. It's not only tenet. It has commandment. It also has standard. And guess what? The standard is a person. A congealed person of love. And it told G. Let me tell you one commandment to husbands. Your pursuit should not end in just loving her. Your pursuit should be as Christ. Now, Christ becomes your statue. How did Christ love the church? And that's why it's somehow when men who are commanded to love their wives as Christ, the only thing they can talk about their wives, they talk down on their wife. They abuse their wife. Their own washing is abuse. Your washing is water. So to do that commandment, you need abundance of water. Abundance of water. Every man must have water. Start having it now as a single brother. Water of life. As you're having water of life in your soul. Have it in abundance to wash. We should not have men here that when their wife abuses them, they are keeping malice with her. Such a brother does not have abundance of water. He doesn't have sense that a woman, what she has said, what is it? He has said it and you are now a husband that will keep record. Ah, you need water. If you have a brother in your midst like that, my brothers, even if he's a single brother, tell him that, oh, Benny, you need water. A man that has a tendency to be malicious needs abundance of water. So I'm saying that even those commandments that we fetch, he has statues. You know, when they are talking about love of the brethren, he said, seeing that you have obeyed, you have purified your souls to the what? Unfeigned love. So, the love of the brethren is not love by your definition. The love commandments has its definition. They said unfeigned. When they say unfeigned, there's no abandon. There's no shade. There doesn't have drama. It's not a love that wants advantage. You see that I'm loving you now so that you can love me like this. You know, some people love and give so that when my time comes, please, if the reason you are giving for a wedding is that when it is time to celebrate you, they also give to you. God's people, they will test that your love. And if you now equate it, I love the brethren, I always contribute. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Holy Ghost has a way of unveiling hearts. It will just blow one wind. All your brethren, they will think your week is a week before. They said unfeigned love. Because I'm just trying to show us that when it comes to you, like the light comes with visiting us so that we can know that they are standard. They said unfeigned love of the what? Brethren. That means that you can love brethren with feigned love, fake love. May you not be panda. May you be original. Original gold. Not the one that, you know, it is packaged. Or the one that you are thinking of an advantage. Your love for the brethren must be unfeigned. And you see that place of testing it? They test. He said test. They test him. God is not an anyhow king. When he's talking dominion, he's talking quality. There's a quality. They will check it. Oh, they will check it. They will check all me and you. I love being, we love. I'm telling you, you will know that you didn't love Jack. They said unfeigned love, obeying the truth. So you can see that you can't come to unfeigned love without obedience. Say obedience. I'm just trying to say that unfeigned love is not a canopy we all come into. Unfeigned love comes by obeying commandments. Let me tell you how you can come to unfeigned love. It's firstly, it might be you are loving somebody who is not lovable. You are loving somebody who is not sending you. You are loving somebody who has nothing to give you in return. You are loving somebody that can never repay your kindness. Before everyone can say that love is unfeigned, it has gone through many, many obedience of truth. And truth are standards that is raised. They show her and she obeys. She obeys and obeys and obeys and obeys. And when you obey, you see, you are doing work. Say works. That is the real ishe. Ishe. It will say to say, ishe logo ishe. Ishe logo not coming to dominion. Ishe, that is work. Say work. When we are in the season of work, you are doing. It's season of doing. Say doings. You will do work and work and work. It's not once off. It's not today I'm patient with my sister. Next month, when we look at your patience, you go on vacation. Then you resume next month. No, you will do works and works and works. There's no vacation time when it comes to the issue of reign and dominion. You do works and works to a place where you will do it not once, not two, not three times. You know, some relationships, some people know how to count what they've done. They say, I did this for you. If you have ever done that, you are still on a journey. And when I did this, how come you are not doing this? I did this. You know, some people know, even some married people know how to count good they've done. I'm the one doing this, I'm the one doing that. If you are still a counter, go and remove your counting machine. Because it is infinity. You have how to keep record of the good you have done. That is not good, though. That thing is called self-righteousness. It's not good. You think it's good. They are calling it, and it is like a dung. It stinks. So I'm saying we will do it to a place where we do works. Say works. Now, see, when we do works, you can't say you have done works and say that you can come to full dominion. Because one thing is that works can disappear. I know your works. They can burn your works. Your works, it never gets stamped. It never gets sealed. Even you yourself, you can fail. It can just be a revelation you came into. It might be a seasonal thing. It can fail. But where God wants to take us, Gongo, say Gongo, is fruit. Say fruiting. God doesn't want us to just be declarers and say, what are you doing? We do commandment. We do love in this church. Hallelujah. We do love in this church. We do. No, they want us to come to a place where when they want to explain what is love, God wants us to do works and obedience to a place where it is, when they call it a default nature. It's not second nature. It is the real nature. They say something is second nature. It's patience. We continue. Whether it's on Sunday, on Wednesday, on Monday, his patience is patience. It means that even if the environment changes, it's still patience. I'm just trying to say, it is when you fruit and fruit and fruit. You see, fruit is not that you're, excuse me, if you see one mango fruit on a tree, you look at a tree, the only thing you see is one mango fruit. Is that fruiting? You won't even think that a mistake, ne? You understand? You will think it's a mistake. You will be waiting to expect more. God, remember John 15 about the vine. What God wants is not just fruits. He wants much more fruits. Say much more fruits. You see, when you have much more fruit, you will say you have life. That life is what I said. That when they say, Brother Victor, like this, they say, Brother Victor is kind. When they are saying he's kind, they are not saying that he's doing kindness as work. They are saying that kindness is a nature. When they want to define the boundary of it, at the instance of 1 Corinthians 13, they can tell you that love is this, love is kind, love is, they are telling you the shade. But the moment you bear fruit to life, at that instance, you are actually what it is. Hallelujah. So when you hear that God is love, you will know that God is not claiming to be love. God is not love because he's doing things of love. He's love because that is his nature. Praise the name. He said, every fruit in me that beareth no fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth what? Fruit. He does what? Purgeth it that he may do what? More fruit. Say more fruit. Because people, the issue of fruit is a big deal. The journey of the kingdom. The journey, you know, I told you that it is the word of his kingdom. The journey of the word. Let's look at that Matthew 13 parable. There was something I saw. That journey is a journey of the word of God. It's the word of his kingdom. But you see, there was something that struck me deeply. He said, when one heareth the word of the kingdom and does what? Understandeth it not. Then cometh what? You know that understanding, when if you have understanding, is a miracle. There's a wicked one that doesn't want me and you to have understanding. He said, catch it away so that which is sown in his heart. Understanding is a miracle. See, when you don't understand, my sisters, my brothers, don't go and calm down. Don't be calm. Know that you have an adversary called the wicked one. The man that has understand. Have you ever spoken to somebody that everything looks very simple, but he just doesn't understand? You know, I've spoken to some people. I used to think, sometimes I could literally see a demon wrapping his hand around their brain. I'm not even talking spiritual matter. You literally feel like somebody who is a fanatist of another religion. What is blocking his understanding? What made you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You can see that what he heard over time became a blockage to, and is a wicked one that has done it. Might not even know that religion. How is it that another person, the same gospel that was ministered to you, that you accepted Jesus, they ministered to the person, he didn't have understanding to accept and believe? You know that understanding is a miracle. Anytime we come to this meeting, anytime we come to meeting, and they minister to us, and you are sitting down there, and you are repenting, you are being blessed. That thing, that blessing, nobody can take it. You just won a victory. Heaven just won a victory. Heaven just saved a soul. He said, he that received it in a stony place. Say, stony place. He said, when he had root in, not in himself, but dwelt it for a while, tribulation and persecution arising because of the word. And is what? Is what? Those people, one of the things that contend with the word is also offense. Say offense. Say offense. In amplified version. Abandon the one who is the source of salvation. This is the one that hears the word, but the worries and the distractions of the world and the deceitfulness, the superficial pleasures and delights of riches choke the word and it yields not fruit. You see, the process of doing works and yielding fruits, this is the adversary there. When you have done work, he said, the worries and the distraction of the world, say worry. Say worry. Because people, if you like to worry, worry can make you unfruitful. That's just what I want. You know, you worry. You know, you worry about everything. Because some of us, we have degree in worry. You worry about your future. You worry about your past. You worry about your present. You, as in worry. They say worry can make a man unfruitful. You don't understand. What will become of me? What? You worry about even that which you have not seen. You worry. Say worry can make a man unfruitful. That means that at this point, you are doing commandments. But if worry is not dealt with, it could make a man yield no fruit. He said, distractions of the world, in all manners of the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. It's just called it distractions of the world. They said, deceitfulness of pleasure, pleasure. God's people, if anything that is still giving you pleasure and it's not the Lord, go and check it out. Food can give you pleasure. That they give you what your soul desires that is sweet. It's okay. But check them all. Check them that there's no pleasure there that you are getting. Check them that there's no pleasure that pleasure should be God and it's something else that is getting it. Because people, anything can have a man. Chocolates that you use your money to buy can take the place of God. Food that you use your money to buy. And that thing is scary. That's why you know that these things are not ordinary. You say things can easily take you to this place. They can choke the word. Deceitfulness. That is, it's a superficial. You know, I want to marry can be a pleasure. An estate can be a pleasure. Your marriage can be a pleasure. If marriage is not equating to a journey of coming to reign, marriage, and it's good that husband and wife tell themselves the truth. I don't want that when they will say she was married. Married to what extent? How did that marriage lead to sitting on the throne? How did that marriage give me a reign? If the marriage will not give me a reign, am I not negating the reason why they gave me the permission to marry? Motherhood can give you pleasure so much that you will exalt the place of that estate more than you exalt your commitment to the Lord. Mothers, make we reason now. I want to receive the reward of having children. It can be a pleasure. Why do you think that sometimes they will not allow their children make decisions? Why do you think so? It's because there's a pleasure they are getting. They say children are the heritage. The real pleasure of children, now God. He say is what? The fruit of his what? Of his own reward, not your reward. The person that should get the reward of your seed is God. It's God. It's not so that he can be a lawyer. It's not that he can keep your family name. I'm saying that anything can be a distraction to choke fruitfulness. And you see, we should fear this, because let me tell you, before you come to fruitfulness, why this thing is sad? You have been keeping commandments. You don't understand. You will keep commandment, and you will not be fruitful. Is that not a cause? Is that not a problem? That I've done commandments and commandments. That's why me and you should wake up and let's do this thing well. We should wake up. What's the point? Look at you, all the denial you have denied. Does it make sense that you have denied, and you don't end up on the throne? In 70 years of your life, or 80 years, or 90 years of your life on earth. He said he can choke. He said there are some things that will not allow the word of God to breathe. God will give us eyes to begin to have strength against these things that will not allow the word of God. Because where they want to bring us to, it's not only to fruiting. You know, when you fruit, you must come to a place where you are a testimony. You are a witness of that life. When they are looking for witness of this life, you will know that the essence of being two witnesses is not far-fetched. Women are raised to a place. And God's people, it is possible. It is possible for a man to do and become. It is possible. Even the laws of life shows us that way. Even the laws of life makes us know this way. I'm praying that the Lord will cause us to begin to have eyes. To see things that will not allow us fruit. In that way, you know, we have obeyed commandments. Have you ever been commanded before? I know people say, I want to be commanded. I don't have commandments. Start from the one in the word of God now. I exalted one about love. Start from that one. Don't wait for the voice in your audible voice. And I heard a voice. He say, go ye. Before the go ye, the one, do it. When you stay in that one that you are doing, that other one will come. But you have not practiced that one, you should fear that one. If you have not done commandment of Bible, you should fear the external one. Because even Satan can become like the angel of light. But God wants us to come to a place where we do and become. Not just say, I'm doing, I'm becoming. And you know, many of us have done in the time past, but God wants us to become. Because the end of every reign is that you are crowned. That's how you will know that you have come to reign. Is when you have what? Crown does not end of anybody. Then forget all those crown you buy in the market. They don't dash crown. Even Epistle is clear. He said, every man striveth for mastery so that he may be crowned. So there's a process. There's a journey that leads to being crowned. There's a journey that leads to being crowned. You know, when you see crown, crown means seal. Just like when they place the crown on Esther. You know, everybody wants to be Queen Esther. But nobody remembers the myrrh, the preparation of the oils of myrrh, of frankincense. Esther was an orphan girl that could come under her uncle and submitted. Queen Esther had a process until the crown was set upon her head. Because that crown was a seal. She had a process where she loved not her life unto death. She had a process where she could condescend. She had a process. Can I read that Isaiah 62? He said, for Zion's sake, I will not what? For Jerusalem's sake, I will not what? Until the what? Righteousness therefore go forth as what? Brightness and what? Salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. This is rain. Righteousness must reign. Salvation must reign. He said, and the Gentiles shall see that. Can you see you are a witness? And all the kings thy glory. And that shall be called by a what?
Name.
With the mouth of the Lord shall what?
Name.
That shall be a crown of what?
Glory.
In the hand of the what? The Lord. And a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, delighted in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man, read on. O Jerusalem, we shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, and give him no rest, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand, by the arm of his strength, surely to the
for our enemies. And praise the Lord. And they have brought it together, shall drink it in the court. Go through the gate. Prepare you the way. Cast up the highway. Gather up the stones. Lift up a standard for a people. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed into the hand of the world. Say it to the daughter of Zion. Behold, that salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. They shall call them holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. God's people, this is our future. This is our heritage. This is the call. This is the reign that we will come to be a royal diadem. You know, hitherto, you know, we have done, you know, forsaken. When they say somebody is forsaken, we have done reign and rule that made us forsaken. But he said it will be our delight. We said we'll be a sought out. This is God's destiny for us. This is our future. I am trusting that God will give us eyes, that we will move from the place of not just having lights and having understanding. We'll begin to see obediences that we might do. You know, some you can be in this church and you might never see obedience. You have been hearing message, but for once you have never done obedience. Obedience to faith. Obedience to commandment. You have just never done obedience. Your heart has not been prompted or yielded to obedience. Those people is an enemy that has done this. You can be in church and you have done obedience, but you have not done it to when it is status. You have done it according to your own regulation. You have not done it to standard. The standard where they will say that, this is a lobby. Sometimes many of us have done many, many works, and everyone can bear witness to our works, but they can't bear witness to our fruits. They look at us, what they see is works. They've not seen a life. They've not seen nature. They've not seen people that can say this is a witness of God, word that we have commanded to them. Because the place of the word of God to us is to make us a witness. And you can come to a place where they can't even commit testimony to you. Because if you don't have testimony, they can't make covenants. Hey, it's a kingdom of covenants. Hallelujah. And they don't just want us to stop it. They want to give us crowns. Say, man child, caught up to the throne of God. Our destiny is throne. May God come to me and you and speak to us again. Open our eyes to areas where we are failing. Failing in opportunities to bear fruits. Are there areas where I am not bearing? I am just doing works. Doing commandment. What you do. But yet, I've not done it to a place where it can bring forth fruit. Open my eyes to see. That one is frustration, no? It's a terrible thing to just be doing works, and your works is not even moving you to the next place. Open my eyes to see. Can we begin to respond to God? Can we begin to respond to God?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyosiyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.